नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो रीडिंग टुडे फ्रॉम द 9th कैंटो चैप्टर 8 एंटाइटल्ड द सन्स ऑफ सगरा मीट लॉर्ड कपिल देव। टेक्स्ट नंबर 22। ये हबजा स्त्रिगुणा प्रदाना गुणान् विपश्यन्ति उटवा तमश्च यन्मायया मोहित चेतसस्त्वाम् विदु स्वसंस्थां न बहि प्रकाशः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। माय लॉर्ड, यू आर फुली सिचुएटेड इन एवरीवन्स हार्ट, बट द लिविंग एंटिटीज कवर्ड बाय द मटेरियल बॉडी कैन नॉट सी यू, for they are influenced by the external energy conducted by the three modes of material nature. Their intelligence being covered by sattva-guna, rajaguna, and tamaguna, they can see only the actions and reactions of these three modes of material nature. Because of the actions and reactions of the modes of ignorance, whether the living entities are awake or sleeping, they can see only the workings of material nature. They cannot see your lordship. Purport. Unless one is situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, one is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. However, because the conditioned souls are influenced by material nature, they can see only the actions and reactions of material nature, but not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One therefore must purify himself internally and externally. Apavitra pavitro va sarva vastam gato piva yasmaret pundarikaksham sabaya abhayantara suchi. To keep ourselves externally clean, we should bathe 3 times daily. And for internal cleanliness, we must cleanse the heart by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement must always follow this principle, Bhaya Abhayantara Suchi. Then it will one day be possible to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Reading the translation again. My Lord, so we are continuing to discuss from this chapter, the sons of Sagara meet Lord Kapiladev. And just a few verses behind, we had seen how the 60,000 sons of Sagara Maharaj had come to Lord Kapiladev, who is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because they were puffed up, because they were thinking that they are the sons of the king, the emperor of the earth, as well as the fact that they were 60,000 strong, and there's just one simple saint who was just sitting over there in samadhi, because they were thinking themselves to be powerful, they approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead with their swords raised, shouting at the top of their voices, so here is a sinner, kill him. And Lord Kapila just opened his eyes, and this 60,000 sons of Sagar Maharaj, because of the fire that was emanating from their body, they were burned to ashes. And here we see the grandson of Sagar Maharaj. He approaches Lord Kapiladev in a mood of humility, beginning with the earlier words, which was discussed so nicely by Akinchana Krishna Prabhu yesterday. We see how Amshuman, in order to get what he wants, ultimately he has come here in order to secure something. Right? He has come to get the horse, because without the horse we cannot be completing the sacrifice. So in order to get the horse, he understood that the best way is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in choice words, he was glorifying Lord Kapiladev. And in this particular verse, Amshuman is telling the Lord that how is it that a materialistic person is covered by the three modes of material nature, and because of which he is just not able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or for that matter, even the devotees of the Lord. So several times we experience this, that when we go out, particularly to distribute books, although we would be wearing devotional clothes, and particularly the brahmacharis who would be wearing saffron, when they are out there in the street distributing the books, even then the people do not relate that these are representatives of the Lord. They are actually coming to deliver us. And there is so much of casual behavior that is presented by these mundane people who have got no concept that here are actually people in the renounced order of life who have sacrificed everything for the purpose of purifying their consciousness. And they have actually come out over here in order to deliver us. And several times they criticize the devotees, they hurl abuses at them, not understanding where this action is going to lead them to. Being critical of the Lord or being critical of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is just an expression of the pride that is there in a person. Like we see the 60,000 sons of Sagar Maharaj, because they were puffed up, because they were thinking that they are invincible, that nobody can actually defeat them, they approached Lord Kapila in such an aggressive way. Particularly in this age of Kali Yuga, this is a very normal phenomenon where we find people who have got no conception of God or don't want to have any conception of God, who have basically got this propensity to control, they are so offensive to the devotees. And we see that this is a recurring theme that is there in the scriptures, warning us how important it is for us to be respectful in a mood of humility to the devotees. What to talk about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like we see, Lord Indra, so beautifully described in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. One day he was sitting in his darbar, in his assembly, with all sorts of people in attendance. The Kinnaras and Gandharvas and Apsaras were dancing, and there were everybody practically over there was glorifying him. And when a person receives so much of glorification in this material world, it can be a very great hindrance to his spiritual progress. So we have to be so careful that when we are receiving glorification for anything, any aspect of an opulence that is being presented by us, we actually have to pass it on to our spiritual master. Because if we keep any of this glorification for ourselves, thinking that this is because of an opulence that is my birthright or something that I deserve, that is actually the beginning of our fall down. So the whole concept of our Krishna consciousness movement is Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnunam Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So it is said that by chanting the holy names of the Lord in this age of Kali Yuga, we can perfect our consciousness and go home back to Godhead. Just by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata. There is no other way prescribed in the age of Kali Yuga except the chanting of the holy names. But in what consciousness we have to chant the holy names in order to make spiritual advancement? That is told to us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That we have to do this in the mood of being as humble as a blade of grass and as tolerant as a tree. So Indra was sitting and receiving this glorification from all these various demigods and residents of the heavenly planets. And he was thinking that all this glorification is a result of my own achievement. And just at that time, his spiritual master, Brihaspati, happened to be walking in. And ordinarily, a person, when a spiritual master walks in, you immediately have to be getting up and paying your obeisances to him and receiving him and giving him a place of honor, which is more opulent than the place that you are having yourself, washing his feet. I mean, this is the standard etiquettes that are expected from a disciple towards a spiritual master. But Indra, because he was so puffed up and because he was considering himself to be such a great personality, he did not even acknowledge that his spiritual master has entered into the darbar. And Brihaspati, of course, being a much more elevated personality than Indra, could immediately understand why Indra is behaving this way. And also he could understand the future, what is going to happen because of Indra's behavior. Immediately, Brihaspati walks out of the darbar. And Indra, at that point of time, immediately realizes what he has done, that he has offended his spiritual master. And he condemns himself and he tells the whole assembly of demigods, saying that, you know, just see this opulence, what it has resulted in me. What pride all this opulence has begotten. I condemn this wealth that has actually caused this opulence to me, and consequently by pride. And anyway, as he was condemning himself, Brihaspati, who was there, actually made himself invisible and just left. And then the Srimad Bhagavatam further explains how the demons, taking this as an opportunity, because they knew that any person who has disrespected a spiritual master, because they themselves had disrespected Shukracharya earlier and they were severely chastised by the demigods. So knowing that the position of the demigods have now become weak, they actually attacked the demigods. And on attacking them, they inflicted severe casualties on the demigods to such an extent that they all had to go running towards Brahma. And then Indra and all the demigods went to Brahma, fell at the feet of Brahma and requested him for help, and Brahma chastised them. Srila Prabhupada in the purport elaborates so nicely, saying that because we take the spiritual master for granted, this is the propensity that is there in all of us. Familiarity breeds contempt. Srila Prabhupada quotes that. Whenever we become familiar with our spiritual master, whenever we become familiar with devotees, we treat them disrespectfully. Right? That is why it is emphasized that we should be addressing each and every one as Prabhu. Unless and until we have that ingrained into our consciousness that particular person whom we are addressing is a Prabhu, our master. And we keep on repeating it, and we have to repeat it again and again. We can't be just addressing a person by his name. It's incomplete. Because the fact that the word Prabhu is added to his name emphasizes the fact that he is actually a master. So several times when we are very casual with devotees, we address them just by their name, or even to some extent we cut short their names. Right? And this is because, of course, in one sense, if you are very near to them, if you have a very wonderful relationship with them, that's fine, that's very nice. But we always have to remember that it is necessary for us to consider him, maybe we will not address him, but to consider him as a Prabhu.
So Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport that Brahmaji was forced to chastise the demigods because they had behaved in a very familiar manner with their spiritual master. I remember once I was in Mayapur and His Holiness Devamrita Swami was in Mayapur also. And I entered into the temple hall and I saw Maharaj over there, and immediately I paid my obeisances to him. So Devamrita Maharaj immediately folded his hands and of course, since I knew him, he just pulled me aside and asked me in a very chastising way, of course in a very loving but chastising way, "Don't you know that you're not supposed to pay obeisances to somebody else before the deities?" So then I looked at Maharaj and I told Maharaj, "Maharaj, we have been trained like this. You know, as soon as we see a spiritual master or a bona fide representative of our spiritual master, we have to pay obeisances to him, even though it might be in front of the deities." So Devabrata Maharaj smiled and he said, "Yes, I was only testing you to find out how you would be retorting to this particular statement of..." And of course, we all know Devamrita Maharaj is a very learned and scholarly person as far as the Chaitanya Charitamrita was concerned. And immediately, Devamrita Maharaj told me about Ramchandra Puri. And he said, "This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us. That it is not just the spiritual master that we have to represent, but all as God brothers are equally worshipable. There is no difference between the spiritual master and his God brothers. Want to talk about the spiritual master of the spiritual master?" And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's so elaborately described how Ramchandra Puri, although he was from a material perspective, he was in a very critical manner addressing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was referring to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a sannyasi who was gratifying his senses. How could such a person, any person talk anything like this about the Supreme Personality of Godhead? But that was Ramchandra Puri's nature, that he would first get people to whom he would serve prasadam, and then he would serve them so much prasadam, and after they had prasadam to their heart's content, then he would chastise them, saying that, "Oh, what sort of a sannyasi are you? You're eating so much prasadam. How can you maintain your vows if you eat so much prasadam? A sannyasi should be renounced," and so on and so forth. This is the way he would. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when once he was chastised like this by Ramchandra Puri, he was very humble. He said, "Yes, what you're saying is true." Whereas all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who would invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to their homes every day for lunch, and they would give so many opulent dishes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu out of affection. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would honor it because he would be actually reciprocating with the love of his associates. So all the associates were looking at Ramchandra Puri as if they could kill him. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has now made a resolve that, yes, what Ramchandra Puri is actually saying is right. I should not be eating so much. And then he instructs Govinda and tells him that from now onwards, when you accept an invitation to somebody's home, you tell them that I'll be eating only so much. And in fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reduced the quantity that he was eating substantially. So, Devamrita Maharaj was telling me that this is the mood. How a disciple should not just be paying obeisances to his own spiritual master, but also consider every spiritual master to be. And Devamrita Maharaj said that the training that you all have received is something straight from the pages of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is exactly what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have expected from people who are there in his parampara. So, Indra is chastised by Brahma. And of course, we know the whole episode that took place. Vritrasura manifested because of this. A huge, ferocious demon. And it took so much effort on the part of Indra and all the demigods to kill Vritrasura. So many lessons that one could learn from this pastime. How Vritrasura, although he was a demon, was actually a pure devotee of the Lord. And he was telling Indra that you have been actually destined to kill me. So why didn't you kill me? I want to die because I know that if I die, I'll go home back to Godhead. But you will remain back over here enjoying your senses in this material world. So Indra was paying the price for offending his spiritual master. So offenses at the lotus feet of the spiritual master or the devotees of the Lord is very, very detrimental to our spiritual life. And another wonderful example from the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see how Ramchandra Khan, now here was an envious person. He was such an envious person that he actually sent a prostitute to disturb the meditation of Haridas Thakur. Everybody knew Haridas Thakur to be a great saint. And yet Ramchandra Khan wanted that Haridas Thakur should be condemned in society. As if Haridas Thakur were presenting himself to be a great saint, but actually is a person who is given to sense gratification. So he sends this prostitute, the most beautiful lady in that particular area, he sends her to Haridas Thakur just so that she should disturb Haridas Thakur, and not only disturb, Haridas Thakur should actually fall down. And of course, Haridas Thakur comes out of this whole process completely unaffected. Not only that, he makes this particular prostitute into a great Vaishnavi. And later on, when Nityanand Prabhu comes to this village where Ramchandra Khan is staying, and then he comes to that Durga Mandap, and then requests for a place to stay, Ramchandra Khan actually sends Nityanand Prabhu away from there. He tells his servant that you go and tell Nityanand Prabhu that there's no place available for him over here. He can go and stay in a nearby cowherd man's house. And Nityanand Prabhu, when he heard this from the servant, he just laughed out loud and he said, yeah, yeah, I know that there's no place for me over here. This place is actually meant for only cow eaters. And that's what actually happened, because Ramchandra Khan was collecting more money than what he was actually supposed to do. The governor happens to come to know about this. And the governor sends his whole army out to this place where Ramchandra Khan was living. And then he destroys the Durga Mandap. Not only that, he actually kills a cow, cooks the flesh and eats it right there in the Durga Mandap. That place is contaminated forever. And then the whole village of Ramchandra Khan was stripped. This is a punishment that one has to pay in order when he actually commits the offense of offending a Vaishnav. So we see how it is that Srila Prabhupada is elaborating here in the purport that although we are experiencing so many different tribulations in our life, yet we find that people are just not sensitive to understanding the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because of this propensity within us to think that we are the controllers, we are actually controlling material nature. Actually, what is it that we are controlling? Nothing. Our control over material nature is so insignificant. Actually, it could be so insignificant also in terms of time. Because it's only a matter of time that material nature overpowers us with so much of misery that we are completely bewildered. And it happens, and it will happen to each and every one of us. There is no doubt about it. It's only a matter of time. All of us who are thinking that tribulations will not come into my life, right now I'm going through a nice period in my life where everything is very comfortable, everything is going the way I want it to go, we are all in deep illusion. It's just a matter of time before we are completely overpowered by material nature into complete submission. to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That actually, at that time, we actually take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you are devotees. If you are non-devotees, then we take shelter of so many other things, like intoxication, illicit sex, gambling. We try to forget the miseries of this material world by taking shelter of things which give us some temporary relief. And we think actually that we are enjoying. Like in this, the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, as Kapila Muni, is Kapila Dev, is explaining to his mother Devahuti about the miseries of this material world. Srila Prabhupada so elaborately gives in the purport how it is that when a person is miserable, he has to take shelter of something. And invariably, if he doesn't have the good fortune to be in the association of devotees, he has to take shelter of the same material nature which is giving him so much of difficulties. Like I remember when I was in the company that I was working for, there was one person who had worked for the company already for 40 years. And practically from the age of 16, 17, he had joined this company and as a clerk, and he had worked up, I mean, he worked so hard, and of course because he was having some abilities, he was promoted by the company successfully. Every year practically he would be getting a promotion, and by the time he was 56 years of age, he had risen to the post of a general manager, which in our company was quite a senior position. But during this entire period that he was in employment, he had spent so much of time with the company because he wanted to rise up in the organization that he had completely neglected his family. So one day I had happened to go to his house and I was really surprised. He had a son who was about 20 years of age. He had, because of his strong connection with the company, he even delayed his marriage. He thought that marriage will be affecting my promotions in the company. So he got married at a very late age. And then by the time he was 56 years of age, he had actually a son who was 20 years of age. And this boy had become a drug addict. And the parents couldn't do anything about it. I mean, they could see the gradual degeneration in this boy, but then somehow they thought that this is a passing phase, he'll get over it, and, you know, all children are like that. And gradually, this boy became a full-fledged drug addict, completely dependent on drugs. And his whole family life was completely disturbed. And just at that time, when he thought, okay, at least this is a small problem, you know, what can I do? This is beyond my control. Just at that time, there was a change in the management, and his boss, who earlier also was from Germany, there came a new boss who he could not relate to. It happens sometimes, you know, we come across people whose face we just don't like. We just can't relate to them for some reason, right? So here, a brand new boss, and he was not able to get along with him, and within a few months, this person who was holding such a position of responsibility in the organization, all of a sudden was shunted out into a very insignificant post. So Prabhupada would give this example, how there was this judge of the High Court was so busy and was making so much of money, all of a sudden one day he was also shunted out from that particular post and given a very insignificant post. And this person, within a matter of time, he died. And within a few months, because he was just not able to absorb the fact that I have now become somebody insignificant. Right? So similarly, this person also, he was removed to a very insignificant post and he still had 4 years to go to retire. Just see the condition that he was in. It's really in a very, very pathetic condition. Because he was a general manager of the organization, when he retires as a general manager, then he gets a substantial pension for life. And then after he departs, his wife continues to get the pension. Right? So that was like a carrot in front of, you know, we have the carrots in front of the donkey, making a person run. So that was actually keeping him going. But for the last 4 years of the life that he was in this organization, which is somehow or the other had to carry out, so that, and the best part was that the company did not kick him out of the job. If you want to punish a person, then in an organization, they don't kick you out. They just shunt you into an insignificant post. They'll give you your salary. They'll give you all your perquisites, but you will die a very slow death. It's true. Because for a person who is honored, dishonor is worse than death. So that same person who used to be coming in a chauffeur-driven car through the company gates and he was being saluted by the security finds that he's coming through the same security gates, he's coming in the same chauffeur-driven car, but the security doesn't even look at him. Right? Earlier the security would come and open the door of the car for him. Now the security is not even bothered whether this person is coming in his car or not. And whole day this person would be sitting and reading the newspaper. He had no work. The company saw to it, the boss saw to it that although he was given his salary, although he was given all the perquisites of his post, he was not having a single minute's work in the company. All the position was stripped off from him. But because he needed this pension after he retired, he had to come every day to the company, punch in his card, punch in and punch out. And literally during that 4 years that he was there in the company, his weight reduced by 50%. One could see that this person was so well built and so robust and healthy. Right in front of your eyes, he was deteriorating. So this is what miseries make to you. Like yesterday, I was going on my walk on Marine Drive and just meditating on the class that I was supposed to give today. And as I was walking, a very beautiful car came. A lot of beautiful cars would come to Marine Drive because very wealthy people who live in that surrounding area, they come for a walk. So, but this was an exceptional car. It was a Bentley. There are not so many Bentleys in Bombay. Right, because each Bentley car costs about 2 crores plus. That's twice the cost of the most expensive Mercedes car in India. Right? So it was a Bentley. And I was thinking, let me see who comes out of this car. I was thinking maybe some very beautiful girl and, you know, very well-dressed man, both would be coming and everything, you know. They're enjoying life to the hilt. So I just stood over there and the chauffeur came and he opened the door of the car. And the chauffeur went inside, practically, to assist somebody to get out of the car. And this person who came out of the car was practically a 90-year-old man, or maybe more. He was practically invalid. So the driver assisted him to the door of the car. He was sitting inside, so assisted him to the door of the car. Then the driver went behind to the dickey and removed out a wheelchair. And then he opened it. It was a folding wheelchair. So he opened it out and then he brought it close to the door and he had to practically lift this old man and put him onto the wheelchair. And he was emaciated. He was like not weighing more than 40 kilos. Bones. And I was thinking to myself that this person is driving in a 2 crore rupee worth of car, but does he realize? Or is he able to appreciate or is he able to enjoy whatever facility that he is having? So the Lord puts you in such a situation where ultimately you might have all the opulences, but you're not able to enjoy it. Because by that time you have either become too old or you become too sick. Or there are so many other difficulties that could possibly come across you. So I said, this is a nice thing that I could relate in the class tomorrow. First-hand experience of something that I actually saw. But this happens all the time. Everywhere in the world, you will find that there are people who are apparently leading such fantastic lives. They're so happy, but inside there's so much of misery. There's so much of unhappiness. Because that's how the material world is made. This material world is dukhalayam ashashvatam. It is only a devotee of the Lord who is able to understand what is the nature of this material world. Because for everybody else, they are not able to comprehend. They don't understand. Why is it I am suffering like this? Why is it that I am in this particular situation? They don't have the knowledge. The Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam gives us this knowledge. Why is it that in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam we find that all the sages who are, as well as the kings, once they realize that they have finished with all their worldly duties, they just retire to the forest. Because that is the period of time in their life when everything is the most miserable. Right? There is no propensity. There is no chance of you enjoying anything in this material world when you are the age of 80. Like there's a very popular saying, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Right? Because of uncontrolled senses, our mind is so active, wanting to enjoy this material nature, but our body doesn't have the facility. We are so old that we can't enjoy this facility. What to talk about, this is the quirk of nature, so to say, that you have all the facilities, but you don't have the flesh to enjoy it. The sad part is that today's generation is trying to secure a very wonderful retirement age, so that they can be comfortable at the age of 60 financially. They're working so hard. But what's the point? At that particular age, you just can't enjoy. You should be actually going to the forest and leading a life which is completely free from all those anxieties with very basic maintenance. Should be going to Vrindavan and staying in a small room where you pay maybe 1500 rupees per month rent and you subsist on prasadam which costs 1500 rupees. So maybe 3 to 4000 rupees a month you should be able to maintain yourself and your wife. So that's the age where actually you should be doing that. But then all of us are working the whole lives trying to set up a retirement fund so that we can be comfortable at the time of retirement. I'll have at least a couple of crores in the bank so that I can lead a nice life. I can have a nice house. Right? I can have a nice car. I can have so many facilities and benefits. But the Srimad Bhagavatam tells us, but that is actually the time when you should be renouncing all these things. When you should actually be going to the forest and saying that I don't need all these facilities. And the whole process of the Varnashram system is to try and reduce the wants as you progressively go on in life. Our desires, our needs, our wants have to be progressively reduced. So that finally at the time when we are really old, we are detached from this material world. That's the whole goal of this Varnashram system. Why is it that we are recommended that at the age of 50 we should be leaving home and going into the forest? Although of course, nowadays that's not practical because there are no forests. But the spirit of renunciation has to come into us gradually. Reduce our dependence on this material world and be more attached to Krishna. That's the knowledge what Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us. Of course, this happens gradually. So that's the reason why Prahlad Maharaj is telling his friend, at the age of 5, you start the process of Krishna consciousness so that at the appropriate time you can actually renounce. So the miseries are there for every living entity. At some stage in our life, we would be experiencing such miseries that they will actually overwhelm us. And that's the time when we need the association of devotees. Because it is only in the association of devotees that we can be properly focused. We try to overcome these difficulties, which are more in the mind. Of course, there are a lot of difficulties to the body also, in terms of disease. But if we are in the association of devotees, then we are protected. I remember the time when our god brother, Trivikram Prabhu, was preparing to leave this world. And he was in the hospital. He had suffered a major heart attack. His kidneys had failed. And he was on a ventilator. He was not able to breathe. He needed assistance in breathing. And as soon as the devotees came to know about it, all the devotees, as many devotees as possible, went to the hospital. And it was not in the hospital that you asked him. There was no point in asking him, how are you? How are you feeling? Obviously, he's feeling miserable. But that is the time when actually you should be telling him Krishna Katha. So the devotees were narrating to him pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For hours together, devotees were narrating the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Similarly with our godbrother, Stoka Krishna Prabhu. In the months before he left his body, although he was in tremendous physical agony, every day for hours together, he would be so receptively hearing Chaitanya Charitamrita. And whoever would go and sit next to him, he would tell him, Prabhuji, please read Chaitanya Charitamrita for me. Please read Chaitanya Charitamrita for me. So that is what all of us should aspire to come to. That is the consciousness that all of us have to aspire to come to. Otherwise, what's the purpose? We might be practicing Krishna consciousness for 20 years, but if at the end of life we do not have this hankering to be listening to Krishna Katha, then we'll have to take one more birth. Of course, whatever we have done is never lost. The Lord assures that to us in the Bhagavad Gita. Neha bikramanasosti pratyavayo na vidyate. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayato mahato bayat. Even a little bit of spiritual advancement that we make is eternally to our benefit. That assurance is there. The Lord has given us. But unless and until we are able to remember Krishna at the time of death, we will have to take one more birth. And maybe one more birth again. So the whole goal of the Varnashram system is to make us progressively remember and depend ourselves on Krishna more and more. Then our life is successful. Otherwise, if you're not prepared, when miseries come into our lives, we will be so much overwhelmed that we will seek the shelter of material nature, trying to take the help of material nature in order to overcome our material difficulties. And the final and the greatest and the most severe material difficulty that could come, that not could come, it will come in our lives is death. And that will happen sooner or later. It's only a matter of time. So our aspiration should be to prepare for that particular moment, which is in fact what Krishna consciousness is all about. Isn't it? Each and every one of us over here in the temple, consciously or subconsciously, is preparing for death, just like Bhishmadev. Right? He was on the bed of arrows, and he was waiting for that opportune time when he could leave his body. He knew that there was nothing more that he could do to his body. His body was completely finished. And because he had this benediction that he could leave the body at the time when he wanted, when he desired, he was waiting for that opportune time, but he did not take shelter of material nature anymore. He was not depending on material nature to cure himself. Right? So whether we have got 6 months to live because we are afflicted with a cancer, or whether we have got 10 years to live because we don't have an illness which has yet manifested into our body, it's only a matter of time, whether it's 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. And of course, for a brahmachari or person, the renounced order, the earlier he gets to meet death, the happier he is. Because then he knows that that is something that will actually protect me. Because death If you do it in a proper way, if you meet death at the time when we are highly Krishna conscious, then we can be sure of remembering Krishna at the time of death. So miseries are an integral part of our life, and how we meet the miseries is the test that Krishna will put us to periodically in our lives. And finally, of course, the final test would be death. And if we remember Krishna at the time of death, we go home back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.